Are you ready? Okay, let's pray and get going. God, to your glory, we look forward to you, Jesus Christ, to your return. But until then, we want to have a harvest and complete your plan. We purpose, Lord, to be inspired and use this as testimony. Lord, we look forward to the blessing that we have according to the book of Revelations. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the end times is about a couple of biggies. It's always about Israel. It's always about wars and rumors of wars, weird weather, volcanoes, earthquakes, things in society that move towards New World Order stuff, Antichrist, false prophets, false religions, weird stuff with science as they go towards an Antichrist system eventually that will try to keep track of everybody as much as they can and alter the very idea of human beings. And so tonight we've got everything that's happened in the last month. Actually, almost everything I have has happened in the last week. I don't have much stuff from October. Almost everything is from this week. So a big deal is always what is going on in the Middle East, what's going on with wars, because one of the reasons is that one of the wars called the Ezekiel 38 war, it has an invasion by predominantly Iran and Turkey from the north, coming in through the West Bank of Israel, where the Palestinians occupy. My personal belief or suspicion is that the resolving of the end of that war is going to bring about a seven-year multinational peace agreement that will probably be Daniel chapter 9. And if that happens, if that war happens like that, and it's resolved like that, my best guess is we're probably 4, 5, or 6 years out from the rapture at that point. So we're always looking for signs of what's going on with Turkey and Iran and the Palestinians. And we got a bunch to talk about. We also are going to be talking about a little bit about Russia and China and North Korea and that kind of stuff. And some other odd things that have nothing to do with end times prophecy. I just think they're weird. And so I'll just share them with you because I think they're funny. I run across some stuff while I'm looking up other stuff. And I thought, this is the times that we're in. And they just get weirder sometimes. Well, let's start out. The Israel-British Balfour Agreement, saying that Jews had a right to their own nation, was November 2nd, 1917, 100 years ago. It set up the eventual prophecy of Israel becoming a nation in 1948, which is probably the biggest end-time prophecy to ever be fulfilled, the Jews returning to their land. When I saw that, and I thought, the 100 years, huh? It occurred to me that in Matthew 24, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And it said that Noah preached for 100 years before the end came. And so when I hear something like 100 years from the Jews being recognized that they need their own land, and notice that in World War I, nation rose against nation. In the original Greek in Matthew 24, it doesn't really mean, yeah, a bunch of nations will rise against another bunch of nations. It literally means a single nation will rise against a single nation and ethnic wars will follow, is what it says in the Greek. Ethnos, ethnic wars. And in World War I, it was a nation against a nation that started it all. And that was about 100 years ago. The seven seals that include the four horsemen of the apocalypse for the first four. The first four seals do not have to land in a seven-year period of time. All of these 21 events, the seals and the trumpets and the bowl judgments, what has to happen is the fifth seal has to occur in the middle of the seven, and then the rest of the 21 from the 5th to the 21st occur in the second half of that seven-year period. But it does not say that the first four have to be neatly contained inside that seven. They could happen 100 years or 50 years or 20 years before the seven-year agreement starts. As long as the fifth seal lands in the middle, the first four are not required to be within that seven-year structure. That's why we can be experiencing the first four seals right now that Jesus called early Braxton Hicks birth pains. Usually happens about the seventh month in a pregnancy. They sure feel real to those that have them, but the baby is not going to come for about another 2 months. So Jesus said, when these signs occur, it's just the Braxton Hicks. The heavy stuff is farther down the road. The California NAACP is calling on Congress to remove the Star Spangled Banner as the country's official anthem, calling it a racist song. They want a different song that we can all agree on. Anybody got an idea what that could be? Me neither. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. Senator Bob Corker, the one that's quitting and hates Trump, happens to be holding hearings in his Senate Foreign Relations Committee next week, questioning President Trump's authority in the executive branch to be able to ever use nuclear weapons. Anti-Trump Republicans and Democrats in the Congress are declaring that the only the Congress can authorize use of nuclear weapons. This one could wind up in the Supreme Court because he's supposed to be commander in chief, and they're saying, you can't shoot a nuke off. We have to approve it first. And he's saying he can. Of course, the Supreme Court's the third branch. I have no idea what they would do, but it's coming down to a war over war. Dan Brown, the author of The Da Vinci Code and author of anti-Christian novel Origin, says that humanity no longer needs God because artificial intelligence has created a new collective consciousness. Here's the problem. What if these supercomputers do not have 100% of all possible knowledge? What if these program computers do not have the knowledge of God? That's the condition of the atheist. They do not have the knowledge of God. They think they know everything, but they don't. Disney Channel's offering its first gay storyline program, named at grade school and junior high population. The show's called Andy Mack. The median age watching it is 10 years old. Earlier, it's about this gay kid that's discovering that he's gay. Earlier this year, Disney had a preschool cartoon, Doc McStuffins, with two married lesbian moms in the cartoon. Then Disney's first on-screen gay kiss in March in their Star Wars cartoon for children. Then Beauty and the Beast featured a secondary gay subplot. Disney started on ABC primetime drama Once Upon a Time last year with a lesbian relationship and have spent since then. It's just progressing farther and farther, farther into that dark place. Have scientists discovered God? Molecular biologists studying the extreme sophisticated coding of DNA are admitting that it seems to have been designed. They believe that intelligence has been created in the code in the DNA. Not wanting to exactly commit to the word God, they prefer super intellect and remarkable coincidences that seem to have been finally adjusted. Scientists not willing to commit to God, or at least starting to commit to a universe that has some unusual order and harmony, and that the world had a beginning under circumstances in which, they say, the known laws of physics are not valid. We call that supernatural, by the way. The scientists are even now speculating that an unseen existence may be out there somewhere. But the scientists do not believe this unseen existence can be verified by their current scientific observations. I'm sure. An extinct cave lion cub has been found in a frozen cave in Russia, Siberia. It was about 2 months old. It's probably a couple thousand years old. Scientists are going to try and clone the DNA, similar to the movie plot of Jurassic Park. Remember where they found the mosquitoes in the amber and tried to make new dinosaurs? They figure they can take the DNA, which is frozen and preserved, and insert it in a modern-day lion and come up with an extinct cave lion. Yeah. Kent State College, a sign that said, quote, "You need Jesus," unquote, has been declared now hate speech. Yep. A mine shaft at the underground North Korean nuclear site, you know, they keep setting off bombs underground, which they're supposed to do because nobody wants anybody to set them up above ground. It collapsed, killing 100 laborers, and then they sent another 100 in to try to dig them out, and they had a secondary collapse, and it killed the second 100. 200 dead in where they do the underground testing. California has cleared its first hurdle to going from one state to three smaller states. If enough signatures are gathered, then there'll be a vote in California on the November 2018 election ballot. Los Angeles would control the state of California. San Francisco would control Northern California, a separate state, and San Diego would control Southern California. House representatives in Congress would not change, but currently California has two senators. If they get approval to break into three states, they get six senators. Yep. Maldives, wherever that place is, has introduced an ID card that can be used for banking payments, plus their national ID, plus it's their driver's license, plus it's their health card, plus it's their insurance card, plus it is now their passport. It's an everything all-in-one card. They don't carry two cards there. Everything's on one. The world's oldest man just turned 121 in Chile, making him 4 years older than the Guinness Book of World Records older person. His name is Don Celino Jaramillo, born in 1896. When he was 99, he didn't think he'd make it to 100, and that was 22 years ago. He's 90% blind, 85% deaf. He has no teeth, so it's hard to hold a conversation with him. He cannot walk without help. He eats bread and cheese. He's never been married and never had children. He sits in the corner on a wooden chair. But it's a nice wooden chair. George Soros, the fascist atheist billionaire, says that he's okay with the idea that he himself is a god of sorts. George Soros, the atheist, said, quote, "I am a god who controls America and the New World Order," unquote. He insists that he created everything. He's talking about the economy and the nation and that, and that normal rules do not apply to him as God. Born in Hungary, he supported Hitler during World War II. He's the one that's pushing Islam into Europe and America. Doesn't want any borders or anything like that. He doesn't like nationalism. So he's okay with being a god. So don't try to make human rules apply to him. Yesterday, Congress discussed the possibility of moving the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. You know, Tel Aviv is the functional capital, but Jerusalem is the real capital. They know that President Trump wants to postpone it until after he reveals his Middle East plan next spring. They want to make it difficult for President Trump, who campaigned on moving it. Congress wants to show President Trump that they are in charge and not him. This is a tricky question. I personally would like to see it move now instead of later. I suspect that the peace agreement will hurt Israel and needs to fail. And I'll tell you a little bit more on that later why I think that that is the case. But I'd like to see it move now and the peace plan to fail. On Tuesday, a delegation of American evangelical Christians met in Jordan with Jordan's King Abdullah. They thanked him for his protection of Christians within his country. The Christian author of End Times books, Joel Rosenberg, led the delegation. Venezuela is on the brink of debt default and national bankruptcy. Venezuela is part of OPEC. The United States and Europe are slapping sanctions on Venezuela to try and stop them from issuing new debt. Inflation has collapsed its currency. The leader, Maduro, is acting like a dictator and arresting all of his potential political rivals. Venezuela owes Russia nearly $9 billion between them and the Russian oil company. That's small compared to owing the rest of the world $150 billion. It owes China $23 billion. Now, here's the kicker. Venezuela has the world's largest proven oil reserves of 300 billion barrels worth $15 trillion. You'd think they could figure out how to pay off $150 billion in debt with $15 trillion in known oil reserves. It took them decades to mismanage that far. Crazy, huh? After hitting record temperature highs this year, we'll be in record temperature lows this week with our first Arctic blast. They're still fighting over global warming or global cooling. Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, and Warren Buffett all claim that they want economic equality for all people in America. That's a nice goal, isn't it? Gates, Bezos, and Buffett have a combined income of $250 billion. Which is as much wealth as the bottom one half of the U.S. population of 160 million people combined. I have an idea. Well, my idea was since they want everybody to have all the same and they have as much as half of America combined, it just makes sense that, you know, just, yeah, but we're not gonna, are we? Let's talk about peace in the Middle East. In other words, the Israel-Palestinian conflict. President Trump says he'll unveil a Middle East peace proposal early next year. What nobody knows yet is whether it'll be include a separate Palestinian state, which has been the U.S. push for decades now. A U.S., quote, peace team is working on the issue quietly and discreetly because the FBI doesn't have access to the team. No leaks are in the press. That's good. President Trump has only been in office just a short 10 months and has already met with Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Palestinian President Abbas separately three times each already. The special envoy assigned over to oversee the peace agreement is Jason Greenblatt. If the final agreement tries to force Israel to give up the land that God promised to the Jews, the administration will be fighting God, and President Trump's success will be shortened. Palestinian President Abbas told the press that President Trump indeed supports Israel being forced to give up land for a separate Palestinian state. Of course, we're getting that from Abbas. If such a plan is pushed through, it'll be the end of Israel's President Netanyahu. He will lose and the next be voted out of the office fairly quickly. If he gives the land away. And I would assure you that President Trump would probably lose God's support in a re-election bid. It'd be a new beginning for the Palestinians, but the beginning of the end for President Netanyahu and President Trump. You can get a lot of things wrong on minor issues and still have God's support, but you go against God's promises and you seal your own fate. This is one that Trump can't get wrong. God promised the land to Israel. If he defies God, even through his ignorance, and tries to force Israel's hand in it and gives them the land, he'll be fighting God. And we know what happens to people that fight God. They don't last as long as they think they're going to last. We'll know in about 5 or 6 months from now what that decision will be. And if he's pushing for land for peace, which has been the go-along, get-along thing that we've been pushing for 20 years now, or maybe more than that in the United States, then we expect to see Netanyahu and Trump both lose their offices and weaker candidates replace them. Plus, Palestinians would immediately be bringing in military weapons if they had their own separate country that Israel has no say over them, what they can do or not do. So remember the Ezekiel 38 invaders? Remember that? They are killed on the mountains of Israel. The mountains of Israel are in the West Bank where Palestine is. Okay? So if they give the land away, they'll be giving away what we call the mountains of Israel, where the invasion by Iran and Turkey comes through. They would be coming through the land, whether they're invited or not. At that point, if they have their own country, it would probably be by invitation that Iran and Turkey would enter. And if that's the case, we know that Israel wins that particular war, and at the end of that would probably be the 7-year peace agreement, and we would have a closer idea of the timing of the return of Christ with the Antichrist rising up in the middle. So I don't know how it's going to play out. If it plays out that they force a hand and give the land away, we'll be having a different president here and a different president there, some weaker people in power. That will be a temptation for an invasion, and they will come right through the land that was given away, and they'll die on that land. The death toll is 100% of the invading force, 0 survivors in that particular invasion. Pope Francis, remember last month we talked about they want to get rid of Pope Francis and possibly put this guy in. They said that Pope Francis technically was not instated properly and he's not a valid pope. And this other guy, his name actually is Peter. And he's run so many different things around the world and economically and had his hand in everything. That last pope is supposed to be called Petrus Romanus or Peter of Rome. There's a very good chance that we've got one more pope to go because they do not believe that Pope Francis is a valid pope right now. He's still trying to stir things up, though. So he's giving a speech tomorrow at a gathering group of United Nations and NATO officials and 11 Nobel Peace Prize winners. His speech will attack President Trump in regard to North Korea. The Pope vows to save, here's what he said, "I am going to save the world from nuclear war." Good. Glad somebody is. He wants President Trump to stop talking. Good luck with that, too. Russia's top nuclear expert plus NATO's Deputy Secretary General will also speak at this event. The Pope, this one or the next, is on a short list to be the false prophet that helps the Antichrist gain power. The Pope supports the July United Nations resolution that we had earlier this year, where 122 countries called for the complete elimination of all nuclear weapons. None of the nuclear powers signed on to it. And none of the NATO countries were part of the 122 signers. The United States will be represented by Calista Gingrich as the new deputy ambassador to the Vatican, but the Vatican refuses to allow her to participate tomorrow as they have not officially recognized her credentials as yet. Apparently you have to show a picture ID or something. Yeah, I don't know. Last year, China had a computer glitch or a mechanical failure and somehow lost control of their 8.5-ton space station. As it slows down in orbit, it will crash into the Earth next year. Best guess right now, Europe. Now, no one on Earth has ever been killed by falling space debris in the history of space flight yet. Yet. But, yeah, that thing is going to come out of the sky and come in pieces. Be some souvenir pieces. Hopefully, you won't have to pull it out of your skull at the hospital. New brain microchips are being developed. Brain microchips to be implanted in your brain because our brain works with electronics. These include a new form. Now, you've probably not heard this term before, biohacking. Biohacking means the computer chips that are able to interfere with a person's neurological system. These chips are being designed to help the brain fight disease, like neurological diseases and Alzheimer's and such. Some of these chips are expected to be able to delete memories, which are stored electronically in our brain naturally. Wipe out people's memories. Other goals are enhanced learning, where new memories could be implanted directly into the brain. It'd be like a smartphone, only it would be called a smart brain. They'll simply download the new memories of the information that they're trying to learn. Is anyone else besides me wondering about mischief or misuse of technology that can delete memory and replace it with new memory? Yeah. Would it help Alzheimer's get their memory back? Well, who would decide what new memories to program into an Alzheimer's patient? I mean, could you implant memories in an Alzheimer's patient that says that they love you when they really couldn't stand you before? I don't know. Is pre-programming love memories even possible? How about hate? How about soldiers? How about pre-programming politics secretly? Or pre-programming certain people to be factory laborers and others to be lawyers? If they can download new memory, which they call learning, and take away the old memories. It's being developed for so-called good, but who gets to decide what the definition of good is? China just announced plans to add their fifth Antarctic outpost on what is known as Inexpressible Island. I tell you what that means, but it's hard to say what Inexpressible Island is. They sure like Antarctica. The Texas church massacre was done by a hateful atheist who targeted his in-law's church and killed his mother-in-law's mom during the massacre. He never should have been able to purchase a weapon in a background check because the Air Force failed to transfer the information. You know, he went to prison for a year. He fractured his infant son's skull and beat his wife up. And they threw him in jail and then threw him out of the military. That information was supposed to be sent over to stop him from a background check when he bought his guns. Because you have to answer the question, have you ever been charged or arrested for domestic violence in the form? And if he said no, and he's caught lying, he's in trouble. If he said yes, they'll be rejected on the spot. Well, the Air Force under President Obama at the time of the failure didn't have a system in place to be able to stop people that did this from getting guns. So he shouldn't have been able to buy guns with a background check. Of course, people can still buy guns anywhere, you know what I mean, or steal them. The church's pastor announced today that the church building will be demolished, and I think that's a good idea. I don't think anybody walks in there and to just be reminded of where the bodies were and the bullet holes and that. It's just too much. Even a new church taking over would be too creepy. They need to just bulldoze that thing. Here's a brand new interesting term and question. Since the Texas Baptist Church shooting massacre last week, other churches are asking each other if their churches are packed. That's the slang term, meaning, are your churches allowing packing concealed weapons? They're using the term, is your church packed? That means, are there people there with guns? And because in the old definition, if they said, is your church packed, you're going, well, not yet, but it will, you know. I am hoping for more. But that's the term they're using now, is do you have a packed church? It doesn't mean how many people are sitting in your chairs. It means how many people are carrying concealed. World-renowned evangelist Billy Graham turned 99 this week. World-renowned evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, age 77, set a goal to win 150 million souls for Jesus in the next 10 years. He's calling it the double harvest decade. He's holding his final five-day crusade in Nigeria. He's going to turn it over to other people now. Not going to do anymore. Yep. So since 1987, 30 years ago, his crusades have documented 87 million people accepting Jesus Christ. Of course, Ikem Grigsby was one of 50 that were selected by Reinhard Bonnke to go over there, and they're going to lay hands on those 50 and send them out into the world, transferring the call and the anointing, the same call. So Ikem is there right now. His goal is to add another 63 million in the next 10 years through these 50 going out and whatever else he's involved in. The top nine most extreme countries that persecute Christians in 2017, the new list is out. Number one, North Korea. They're the worst. Number two, Somalia is actually the second worst. The third worst is Afghanistan. Fourth, Pakistan. Fifth, Sudan. Sixth, Syria. Seventh, Iraq. Eighth, Iran. And nine is Yemen. And then the other countries, they listed 50, but these are the worst of the worst, and they go drop down a category. Notice one thing in common with all nine. All nine are engaged in either a civil war or crossing borders militarily to kill other people or spread their beliefs. All nine of the anti-Christians are all about killing themselves or killing others. The top court in Germany ordered a third gender category for their birth certificates. Yep, people who are transgender or transsexual or bisexual or intersexual or homosexual or anyone, I guess, can legally leave the question of sex blank so that it can be determined later or never, or if they are any particular gender or non-gender or complex gender or transgender. So they do have the legal choice of having a birth certificate that doesn't show what they are. Yep. The outbreak of plague, with 2,000 infected and 143 dead in Madagascar, is the worst bubonic airborne strain in 50 years. This was the dreaded medieval disease formerly spread by fleas on rats. This new airborne strain popped up out of nowhere. It looks suspicious, as if it is a modified airborne variety, most likely produced in a lab somewhere, and was either being tested in Madagascar on the people or somehow escaped the lab. This stuff is not airborne, but this variety is, which it makes it very suspicious that it may have been lab created. Creepy, huh? Hold your nose and don't breathe, I guess. Saudi Arabia, well, God's the best protection I know. It'll not come near your dwelling. Saudi Arabia has granted citizenship rights to a robot that has more rights than the women in Saudi Arabia. How can anything with an off button have more rights than somebody that doesn't have an off button? You know? I remember I was doing counseling, and this one girl came, and she's so mad at her brother. She says, I wish he had an off button. I'd push it. So, well, that's that. Do you know who was born in 1986? Austria's prime minister. Yeah, the millennials are on the march. Sebastian Kurz is the world's youngest leader at age 31. The House passed four bills that would impose sanctions on Iran's ballistic missiles and their cooperation with the terrorist group Hezbollah. And if we can get the Senate to agree and vote on them, then we can get more sanctions in place. I don't know if they work or not, but anyway, the House is trying to do it. Last month, Iran's military forces took over the Jordan Valley, setting themselves up for a future invasion of Israel. As found in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Israel must somehow challenge this latest Iranian move, or the Ezekiel invasion by Persia will come sooner rather than later. Yesterday, Iran threatened to bomb Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi, and Dubai airports and seaports, and they began shipping more missiles to the terrorists in Yemen. The Iran and Gulf nations are preparing for war. Iran just replaced their top army and navy commanders this week. The Lebanese prime minister, Lebanon, that's right north of Israel, which is like our U.S. president, just this week stepped down and is allowing Iran and the Hezbollah terrorist group to take over Lebanon. That all happened this week. That's crazy nuts. But, you know, you won't hear it in the mainstream media. They're ignoring that. Last week, Israel dropped seven missiles on Syria. The building war in the Middle East is going on. Oil prices and stock markets will adjust accordingly. You will see stocks come down as the markets get nervous, and you'll see oil and gold and commodities go up. It looks like there's going to be a war in the Middle East with at least seven groups. That does not include the United States or Russia. Everybody else is getting ready for a regional war. It may get a category of World War III or Gulf War I. I'm not quite sure, or Middle East War I. Depends on if NATO gets involved and if Russia gets involved and China gets involved. Right now, we're on the doorstep of a huge war. So markets will react. On October 31st, Iran threatened ballistic missile strikes on American forces. That wasn't too long ago, 9 days ago, 10 days ago. Iran said that it has the capability of hitting all U.S. bases in the Middle East. It has a range of 1,300 miles with their current missiles. Pursuit of ballistic missile technology is in violation of Obama's Iranian agreement. It is believed that Iran has been working on ballistic missile technology the whole time the Obama agreement was in place. U.S. Congress wants more sanctions. Iran says that if any new sanctions are added, then the deal is off. By the way, Iran never officially signed the deal. Only the Obama administration signed it. Iran is also working on satellites to coordinate intercontinental missiles. It's a mess. It's heating up and nobody's paying attention. Saudi Arabia has begun steps to build two nuclear power plants. This is a first for them. They said they wanted to reduce the amount of oil used within the country so that they could sell more oil overseas. Saudi Arabia will organize a nuclear conference in the next few months. Meanwhile, the United Arab Emirates is building four South Korean-designed nuclear reactors. But I think the war is going to happen before these nuclear power plants get built. Recently, China practiced bombing runs targeting Guam. Over the past year, Japan has scrambled jets 900 times to intercept Chinese fighter jets. Yep. As Saudi is warning its citizens to get out of Lebanon, they put that order out yesterday. all Saudi Arabia citizens get out of Lebanon now. Israel's defense minister is in Athens, Greece, drumming up Greek support for Israeli military moves in both Lebanon and Syria. Israel is getting ready to go to war itself, and they're trying to get the cooperation of the people in the area. So Saudi wants its citizens out because they don't want to be dropping bombs on their own guys. And with the resignation of the prime minister this week, it is ready to bust loose. The November 4th Antifa, anti-Trump civil war by radical leftist super soldiers failed to materialize as the Antifa super soldiers' moms wouldn't drop them off at the riot sites, mostly because it was raining. Mom, I need a ride. I need a ride to the riot. It's raining. I'm not going to take you down there. For example, in New York, these super soldiers. For example, in the New York City, where over 8 million people, mostly liberals, live, only a few hundred showed up. Most of them paid, by the way. That did show up. They were paid to be there. The unpaid people didn't show up. Only about one out of every 40,000 showed up in New York. And they were, and they, I mean, they make $25 an hour. They had a nice sandwich for lunch, you know. But the big riot to end all, to go on forever, fizzled because it rained and nobody showed up. But it's the thought that counts. The GOP tax plan recognizes the personhood of unborn babies, allowing parents to designate them as beneficiaries before they are born. They can start contributing to trust funds prior to birth. It defined an unborn child as a member of the species of Homo sapiens at any stage of development who is carried in the womb. Future hope is to eventually offer child tax credit to the unborn during that tax year. The Senate may try to toss this language out under pressure from Planned Parenthood, who, by the way, managed to get tax-funded abortion money directed to the unborn. So you can use money in the tax code to abort the unborn baby, but you not, may not use money to support your own baby with an educational fund for college later. Crazy. Also, in 36 states, if you cause the death of an unborn, you can be charged with murder. If you murder a pregnant mother, you can be charged with two murders. If you stab a pregnant mother in the stomach, killing the unborn baby, you can be charged with a murder, even if the mother survives. So 36 states always also recognize them as you killed a person. Yet in these states, aborting the unborn in a medical procedure is still accepted. I mean, you can't insert a butcher knife into a pregnant woman. It'll be murder. But if you go into a medical clinic, you know, I don't know if they think these things through or not. Here's a shocker. Last week, the Saudi Arabian king arrested a Saudi royal family billionaire prince, along with 10 senior princes and 38 ministers for corruption and money laundering. They were heavily invested in Twitter, News Corp, and Citigroup. The head of the National Royal Guards and the Minister of Economy and Planning and Admiral Al Sultan, the commander of the Saudi naval forces, were arrested. This was a huge purge. This wasn't a coup. This was a purge. The heads of the main three Saudi-owned TV networks were arrested. Apparently, $100 billion is missing. We arrested 11 of their kids, 38 ministers, the head of the TVs, and they're getting ready to go to war. They got a lot on their plate. Hope they have a nice Christmas. Saudi Arabia also intercepted a ballistic missile targeting the airport in Saudi's capital launched by Yemen rebels. Saudi retaliated with airstrikes on Yemen's capital. Saudi has been trying to lead a coalition of Middle East countries against the rebels in Yemen, who are being armed and paid by Iran. Saudi is the largest oil producer. Iran's the second largest. Iran would like to have both Saudi and Iran. They think they can control the world if they can get the top oil fields and hold on to the second oil fields. Iraq would be third. Venezuela has the reserves. We've got the fracking, but they've got the biggest chunks there. The ballistic missile in Riyadh was the first time the heart of the Saudi capital has ever been attacked and represents a major escalation of the ongoing war in the region. The war that nobody talks about. So far, 5,110 dead and 8,000 wounded in this war that nobody talks about. Update on Saudi Arabia. A Saudi Arabia helicopter, carrying 8 high-ranking officials, and the Prince bin Magran crashed, all dead. What a coincidence. Famous Christian author Joel Richardson wrote Mystery Babylon. He argues that it is not Babylon in Iraq, nor Rome, nor New York, nor the U.S., but Saudi Arabia that he thinks is the Babylon of the Bible. Interesting, since all the stuff right now is all about Saudi Arabia. The Islamic Antichrist is his other book that he wrote. Both are worth reading. He's got some ideas in there. I don't know if I agree with all of them, but they're interesting. And he backs them up pretty good. I'm not 100% sold on this, but his latest book is saying you got to be looking at Saudi Arabia as the mystery Babylon. And really, we've never looked there before. It's always been Rome or New York or Baghdad or something. Saudi Arabia is on the brink of war with Lebanon. Expect higher oil prices. Hezbollah, which is a terrorist group funded by Iran, is Saudi's enemy along with Iran, who would like to invade Saudi. By the way, Saudi is building a wall to try to prevent Iranians and terrorists from getting into their country. They're building a wall. They went to Israel to find out how to build walls. Anyway, Saudi Arabia today, I said that already, warned its citizens to leave. What am I doing? Repeating stuff, I guess. Maybe it is. Sometimes I pick up on different news sites and it says it and I write it down. I forgot I wrote it earlier. The top three leaders of the Federal Reserve, the top three, including Janet Yellen, are stepping down. They're all, wow. After their catastrophic mistake with printing trillions of dollars, they need to go. We'll be struck with inflation from the money printing scheme under Obama for decades, the rest of our life. Meanwhile, stocks continue to hit record highs. They probably will be shaken to the core with a war in the Middle East. But they've hit maybe 40 or 50 record highs already this year. The quantitative easing was a scam. And everybody's going to pay for it. If you know anything about economics, when you print money, the economy absorbs that extra printed money in the form of inflation, higher prices on everything. And now that they are going to resign, they're just going to, inflation will be the result. And who's ever president at the time or in charge, they're going to get blamed for it. But any inflation that we're going to have for the next 20 to 30 years all came from these leaders who supported the quantitative easing of the Obama administration. No way to get around it. The only way you could get around it would be to grow your country so fast and so huge that it sops off a bunch of that extra. Right now there's $4 trillion parked in the wings waiting to come out looking for something to buy. That's a lot of money chasing a limited amount of goods. And that's why inflation will be the result. They'll probably try to raise interest rates fairly soon in order to try to slow it down as a hedge against inflation. Commodity markets will increase as a hedge against inflation. Everything from pork bellies to corn to wheat to copper to gold to silver to houses, things you can touch, to land. Trump met yesterday with the leader of China to discuss North Korea. Trump is on a tour of Asia and plans on meeting with Putin of Russia to discuss North Korea. President Trump will also be in Japan, South Korea, Vietnam, the Philippines. And he said he'd be willing down to sit and talk with Kim Jong-un of North Korea. But Kim Jong-un is trying to get a bunch of translators around him to think up better names to call Trump. I mean, worse names to call him. China revealed the first images of its secret hypersonic strike aircraft being developed to deliver nuclear warheads through U.S. missile defenses. It's very tricky. It has launched a ballistic missile. They attach it to a ballistic missile. This is a jet that's carrying nuclear weapons. And then it's fired into space so fast, between Mach 5 and Mach 10, up to 7,672 miles per hour, and released, it glides between Mach 5 and Mach 10 and is maneuverable, but doesn't have any propulsion, so it's virtually invisible, comes in fast, it comes in low, and it's a glider fighter jet with nuclear capabilities. We do not have a defense system that can knock this thing down. Yeah, with no propulsion. It's floating fast through the air. There's no signature that we can spot of heat being generated or anything like that. It's virtually invisible. It's a high-speed glider that gets so fast up to speed and then's released. Then they glided into position. Yep. A hypersonic glider jet that carries nukes. China's testing bat-sized micro drones as spy drones. They're also testing drones 12 miles above sea level. I don't know if you know what that's like up there, but that's considered a death zone for drones because the air's too thin to generate lift and the temperatures are so cold at that height that most things that have any power, motion, or motor are frozen. They can't function. But they've figured out a way to get these micro drones up to 12 miles in the air and still maneuver them. And they're launched using some kind of electromagnetic pulse, after which these drones, with the same technology as those jets, glide to their targets for up to 60 miles away. They're the size of a bat. They're invisible because you can't spot them. They can adjust course and altitude and such as they're moving as these micro glider drones. They can launch hundreds of them like a swarm of bees. They're invisible to radar. They're too small. They don't generate anything, any heat. And they only cost a few hundred Chinese yuan, which is their currency. So they've got these specialty drones that they're the size of a football. That they're working with, too. They're so far ahead of us, I think. I haven't heard that the U.S. has any of this stuff yet. Russia is set to test their newest ICBM, the RS-28. This is a 100-ton ICBM that is capable of destroying an area the size of Texas. It can travel 6,600 miles. It holds 15 separate warheads that would take out 15 separate cities. Each individual warhead of the 15 is 750 kt yield, whatever that is. It weighs 5 tons, not counting the fuel or the launcher, each one. And it's not expected to be deployed, though, until 2020. The bomb dropped on Hiroshima was 15 kts. Each of these individual ones are 750, and there's 15 of them. Yeah, wow. One missile is the same as 750 Hiroshima bombs, all going off in 15 locations. On the East Coast, you could hit New York, Washington, D.C., and 13 more major cities all at once. Two of the bombs would hit 30 targets. Four of these bombs would hit 60 targets, equaling 3,000 Hiroshimas. They fly at Mach 20.7. Incredible. We've got nothing to stop this one either. So, eat ice cream. It pays to be nice to China and Russia sometimes. China is now buying Russia oil with a yuan, which can be cashed in for actual gold. They have now bypassed the U.S. petrodollar. It's only a matter of time as the dollar will collapse in world importance. Now that China and Russia are trading for gold-backed currencies, they're going to replace the petrodollar as the standard over time. Iran and Saudi Arabia are starting to do the same. Last week, Russia sent bombers to North Korea in response to the U.S. sending bombers. Some Russian bombers got too close to U.S. warships and were driven off by U.S. fighter jets. The bombers the U.S. sent are nuclear bomb capable in the stealth category. North Korea is having a devastating drought. Most monies are being diverted to the military. 18 million are at risk of starvation right now. The United Nations is asking for $52 million to help feed North Korea, but it's only received less than a third of that amount. The previous famine in North Korea from 1994 to 1998 had 2 million North Koreans die from starvation. North Korea, huh? It is. North Korea is threatening to start above-ground nuclear tests now that they lost 200 people in their collapse. That whole mountain is unstable now. That's really problematic. That definitely would contaminate Asia, depending on the wind direction. Nobody wants an above-ground test. India has refused to cut ties with North Korea despite U.S. pressure. India has a North Korea embassy and staff. Though not in the top 10, India is listed as one of the top anti-Christian countries that persecute Christians. Yep. Parts of Brazil have not had rain for 150 days. Thousands of alligators, thousands of cattle, entire fish populations are dead in the largest river in the world. Parts of the river dried up. 11 cities are without water. 27 other cities are almost out. Some lakes in Brazil are completely dried up, with 100% of the aquatic populations gone. This is an apocalyptic drought that, you know, like Jesus talked about with the famines and things like that. 150 days. Brazil is known for their daily rain. How do you go 150 days without rain? No wonder the largest river in the world is drying up, and so are the lakes. It's just weird. Just what you never thought would happen. Iceland's biggest volcano has been rocked by the strongest four earthquakes since its 2014 eruption. Swarms of earthquakes are occurring in the French Alps as well. The volcano in Iceland is expected to erupt again, but it could be in the next few years or the next few minutes. We just never know with that one. Last time, it was a different Icelandic volcano. It changed the weather in Europe for about a half a year, and flights were canceled. That was about 7 years ago. This is a different one, ready to blow. North Korea was supposed to launch its biggest missile ever yesterday, but I haven't heard. Right now, President Trump has 80,000 soldiers on standby waiting his orders and on an indefinite standby. The last major ISIS city in Syria was captured this week. Abu Kamal was taken by the Syrian forces. Iran-backed forces and Hezbollah terrorists took part in fighting ISIS. ISIS still controls some parts of the deserts and some desert villages, as well as small pockets in Iraq and Syria, but they're pretty much done. Scientists at CERN, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, say that their advanced research shows that if a Big Bang occurred, that matter and antimatter would have completely destroyed one another. In other words, they've discovered it is scientifically impossible for the Big Bang to have occurred. Their puzzling conclusion was this, quote, "The universe should not actually exist," unquote. Finally, we hear it from the scientists, and that's all we've got for tonight. So, any questions? Yeah. It's a different one that was from before. Yeah, and the melting of that, the reason why that would be troubling is because it affects the temperature of the ocean currents in the Atlantic Ocean that come down and cross and come up Africa. And the temperature shifting is what creates the hurricanes that come across. And if the temperature of the water changes or the current shifts, then we get hit with catastrophic events. So. Yeah. Yeah, they're, and that's based on the temperature of the oceans that help build those things and fuel them. There's a lot of stuff happening that I didn't cover tonight. In the Antarctica, they've got underground volcanoes are melting and creating huge pockets of melted water lakes underneath of the ice. Chunks are breaking off. They've got probably 100 volcanoes underneath of Antarctica, and that could change world weather as well. There's so many volcanoes going off and earthquakes going off right now that they're not even reported anymore. Probably the biggest thing that's going on right now is that between now and the end of the year, if they don't get a handle on it, there's going to be a war in the Middle East that will reach the front pages, and they'll have to talk about it. And if it gets bad enough, they might not have to wait for an Ezekiel 38 invasion to have a seven-year peace plan. If they have seven different groups fighting it out and it gets really bad, then we could see a seven-year peace plan that doesn't have anything to do with Ezekiel 38. Interesting. Then Ezekiel 38 would just come at a later time. Damascus is the capital of Syria. It was the last place that Israel bombed. There's a Bible prophecy that says Damascus will be destroyed, never to be inhabited ever again, which is interesting because it would have to be contaminated to never be inhabited ever again. because God still has 1,000 years coming up. But if God says nobody lives there, nobody's going to live there. The weapons of mass destruction that were in Iraq are in the Bekaa Valley. That was moved over into the area of, Bekaa Valley. That's part of Syria, isn't it? I thought the Bekaa Valley. What they did was most of the chemicals could be fit. I mean, you could take all the chemicals that Iraq had and fit it in a swimming pool. These are in canisters. They're very dangerous. And what they did was, in the 6 months that we were getting ready to invade Iraq, they took them out in convoys across the border into Bekaa Valley, and then they dropped the Bekaa Valley. Where is that? I can't remember for sure where the Bekaa Valley is. It's either Damascus or by Lebanon, but I don't think it's in Turkey. I can't remember for sure, but it's west, northwest of there. They used telephone pole diggers, and they dug deep holes and dropped the canisters in there, covered it over, and planted vegetables, and then put 14,000 soldiers guarding the vegetables. Like that, it's like, what are you guarding? The vegetables. The reason why Israel didn't say anything, George Bush knew where they were and knew they were there. Part of the agreement was that George Bush would keep his mouth shut about them because they didn't want them moved. Israel knows where they are, and if it looks like they're going to move those weapons of mass destruction and chemicals, Israel will go in and blow the Bekaa Valley up. But if George Bush came out and said, hey, I was right all the time, they had the weapons and stuff, but Israel cut a deal with them saying, just shut up about it. They're all in one spot at one place. And as long as they stay buried, if it looks like they're going to dig them up, we just blow the valley up and take care of it. Then you can talk about it. So, yeah, they're still there and they're still buried. But because Israel knows where they are, the chance of them being brought into use is probably slim. Damascus has its own weapons, chemical weapons factories. That's what Israel has been bombing, is the weapons of mass destruction factories that were located around Damascus. It could go bad, yeah, if they blew it up into the air instead of having it implode. We've got some bombs that go down deep into the ground and could blow it up and drop it without doing that. Or they could just put a tactical nuke and just fry the whole area for 5 miles and just leave it alone for 100 years too. So they've got a lot of options, but there's enough. North Korea has enough weapons of mass destruction, both biological and nerve agent, as much as Iraq ever had, and could easily release that at any time. So it didn't end with Iraq. Iraq was just kind of pulling the cover off the wound and taking a look at it and going, oh no, it's worse than I thought. Now just about everybody has their own thing going. So they're not as worried about the Iraq stuff because everybody else has made a new fresh supply, especially North Korea. And North Korea has also developed planes that are like crop dusters that is able to simply send their pilots up and spray vast areas with these agents. Yeah, so it could get bad really quick. But right now it looks like even though 80,000 troops are on standby, and we're talking to China and Russia about North Korea, the Middle East is ready to blow before North Korea ever does at this point, unless they get a handle on it, and it looks like they don't want to. It looks like the powers that be of the 7 groups that have been chomping at the bit for war and some of the reluctant players are ready to have their war. That's right. They or at least take a chunk or advance or take over some piece of land or some resources. If they can just advance their cause and then hold steady and get a chunk of the divided up prize, they'd be happy with that. Yep. It's getting really weird over there right now because Hamas, who launches all the rockets against Israel, has cut a deal with the Palestinians to disarm themselves and turning over their leadership to the Palestinians. Now, there's three groups that are trying to destroy Israel besides Iran: Hezbollah to the north, Hamas in the Gaza Strip, and the Palestinians. They all three groups hate each other. But right now, the most dangerous one is Hezbollah in Lebanon, who has up to 100,000 rockets, including 200 extremely powerful ones that can hit any part of the nation of Israel. And these rockets are about the size of a telephone pole, not these little 3-foot rocket launchers, almost like 4th of July fireworks, you know. They've got some big stuff that has been supplied by Iran. Fortunately, they don't have enough launchers, and it takes them about a half hour to relaunch or reload. So if they start launching from a particular site and want to reload, Israel can target them and try to take them out. They have 100,000 rockets, but they do not have 100,000 launchers. So that's their bottleneck that Israel is relying on. Israel just got done practicing pulling all of its citizens from the northern border of Lebanon and pulling them south so they can have an open free fire zone on Lebanon. Everybody is getting ready for war, but you'll never hear it on the mainstream media. Yeah. Yeah, we're looking for a peace agreement. So I don't know which one it's going to be, because this war took me by surprise. It's not the Ezekiel 38 that we're looking at, this next one. It's none that I can see in the Bible. So I haven't spotted this one yet. There's the Psalm 83 war, which is the internal Israeli war, but this is external stuff. And there's the Isaiah 17 war with Syria and Damascus, but this is expanded from Iran to Saudi and all over the place. And this is not the Ezekiel 38 Turkey with Iran. They still hate each other's guts, by the way, to attack. So this war is not one that I can spot in the Bible. But it could be the war that sets up a peace agreement, because that isn't supposed to be. I can't find where that's attached to a specific war. I've used Ezekiel 38 as the closest one, but a 7-group war, I don't know how long that would go on. I'm not thinking more than 1 to 3 months. There's just too much weapons, too many mass destruction, too many rockets, and they'd go all out in the first month to begin with. So it wouldn't be something that would drag into a 3 or 4 or 5 year World War II. It would be quick. Yep. So, okay, we're done.